Let's turn to the book of Psalm. Psalm chapter 46. This will be the last installment of talking about the Father, the fatherhood of God. I mean, just for this week, I'm sure we're going to talk about it again at some point. Psalm 46, let's go from verse 1. Let's just read the whole psalm, actually. Okay, Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Stronghold, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Selah. Amen. So this is a psalm from the sons of Korah. And you know, great musicians. It's actually the choir director that's proclaiming this psalm. And today, so let's do a little quick review, right? Tuesday, we talked about God as our disciplinarian, our trainer, right? And I mentioned before that I should have put that at the back, but I put it in the front, right? And so better order would have been to start Wednesday, which I talked about the love of the fatherhood of God, right? And then yesterday, we talked about, what did we talk about yesterday? Someone help me out. Right, he's our teacher and our guide. Sorry, we had a late Sichuan dinner last night. My face is all swollen still. So as our guide today, I want to talk about the fatherhood of God being our refuge and strength, okay, our victory, our refuge and strength. Now, this is definitely one of the pictures, especially when we're little, right, when we're young, when we look at our fathers, we think he's a giant, right? You know, when I was growing up, I thought my dad was a giant. You know, I mean, I just thought this guy was so big. And it wasn't until I started growing, you know, and if you see my dad, right, he comes to about here to me right now. You know, my dad's about 5'8", you know, I'm almost 5'11", right? And so, you know, I'm a bit, you know, taller than my dad, obviously. You know, but, I mean, when I was little, I just thought he was so humongous, right? And so we attribute fatherhood or fathers, we attributed it with tallness, bigness, strength, you know, and all these things. You know, another one of my ideas, right, that I had, you know, yesterday I mentioned that, you know, a lot of times that people in our generation, it's so difficult for us to make decisions because we never really had our fathers to guide us, you know, and train us in that way. And today I want to talk about a different aspect, and I feel like a lot of times, maybe our earthly fathers or whatnot, we've not been able to receive their strength or come under their strength in many ways. And the result is it's made us become fearful, right? Our generation is so fearful. We're afraid of so many things. And that goes back to the decisions too, because we're afraid to make the wrong decisions, you know, and it really paralyzes many of us. You know, but that's what it causes when we don't understand the strength of our father and how that's made available to us, maybe because we had absentee fathers or we didn't grow up with fathers or, you know, a myriad of other things in between, you know, those two poles, you know, that there is this real sense of fear, you know, that was driven into us in some way. And so the psalmist says here, he says, God is our refuge and our strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. You know, and it's this fatherhood of God, you know, that really comes in the midst of this. You know, my two daughters, Elise and Emma, they're movie buffs. You know, they love watching DVDs, right? I mean, even Emma knows how to grab the DVD, you know, from the drawer, right? Knows, you know, well, in our other place because it was a lot lower, right? Knows to turn the DVD machine on and, you know, and the thing comes out and knows to put the DVD thing in and closes the door. You know, she can't do that now because all her stuff is up high, right? So we did that on purpose. And, but she, I mean, even, you know, she was like, you know, 1.5 and she knew how to do these kind of things. But there'll be movies that we watch, you know, and every once in a while, Emma, you know, especially Emma, at least before, but not so much anymore, would see something and she's, you know, and she'd turn to me and she'd run to me and say, "Appa, I'm scared. I'm scared. You know, I'm scared, Appa." Right? And so, you know, obviously as a good father, I just tuck her in under my arm and I hold her close and, you know, I mean, this may sound really corny, right? But I'm sure maybe your dad did it to you, right? You know, and, you know, I just simply say, "Emma, it's okay. Appa's here," right? You know, I'm bigger than, you know, like she's been watching Kung Fu Panda, right? And you remember, you know, Kung Fu Panda, there's that evil guy, you know, I forgot the guy's name, right? The big wolf or the cat or something. And, you know, he's got yellow eyes, you know, does all these things, you know. And then she's also been watching Mulan, right? And Mulan's got, you know, the Mongolian character, right? The Hun, and, you know, and he's also yellow eyes. I'm very demonic, you know, these. And this is Disney, you know, Pixar. I mean, what's up with these guys, right? Or Dreams, whatever, right? And so, DreamWorks. And so, you know, and every once in a while she comes up, I'm scared, you know. And I just tuck her close in. I hold on to her, you know. And I just say, "It's okay, Appa's here." You know, and it's like, you know, yeah, she, in essence, she has a right to be scared, but she's comforted by someone bigger. You know, we have this thing with insects in our house, right? I mean, not that we have a lot of insects, but I love to kill insects. You know, you can ask my wife, I'm good. I'm really good, right? I mean, you know, Lisa say, "There's something here, and I'll catch it." You know, I mean, I'm not going to catch it with chopstick, you know, like Karate Kid, but I'll kill it, you know, and stuff. And so my kids know that if there's any insects, and, you know, at first kids are, you know, they're scared of insects. You know, and they'll come and, you know, they say, "Appa, appa, appa, insect. You know, and Elise knows now, right? She goes, "Appa, kill it. You know, I mean, it's really aggressive. "Kill it, Appa." Because in the beginning, you know, just to show that they didn't have to be afraid of insects, I would make a big show about it, right? You know, I find something and I like jump on it and crush it and grab a tissue and says, "Elise, I crushed it." You know, I mean, really exaggerate the case, right? And so she's not afraid of insects anymore. Right? Because she leaned upon someone that was bigger than her that can take care of it. Invariably, what happens in our life as we grow up, there are things that we're going to be scared of. I mean, it's just very natural as human beings. But in those instances, when we don't have people to come alongside of us and tell us, "You don't have to be afraid of this," right? Sometimes you never lose that fear. And even as adult, it becomes an irrational fear, right? You know, there's like people that don't know how to swim, right? Who are like 30-some years old. I mean, almost ridiculous if you think about it in our day and age. But there are people that don't know how to swim. And invariably, if you ask them, they went swimming when they were little, right? And they almost drowned and no one was there or they came in the last minute to help them, right? And so it becomes this fear. It becomes very irrational, right? There wasn't a dad that came alongside in many ways, you know, or there wasn't that father figure, you know, that helped us through these things. And so we grew up with a lot of these fears, you know, but that's the attribute or the fatherhood of God, that He's our strength and He's our refuge. When you feel afraid, listen very carefully, nothing wrong with that, okay? It is a human emotion, you know. In fact, you know, some psychologists say that it's a good human emotion, right? Because sometimes fear, you know, creates in you adrenaline that helps you get out of difficult situations, right? I mean, you've heard this many times. and things. And so there's nothing necessarily wrong with fear, but the problem is that when your life is dictated by that fear, that's when it becomes a problem, right? You know, we are raised and we are created in such a way that when we encounter difficulties and circumstances in our life, you know, that you know, fear is could be a defense mechanism that comes. It could actually help us a bit. But when that fear becomes unresolved, right, you know, and when it becomes something that's, you know, that as an adult we for some reason can't get over, or where our life is now dictated by that fear, I think we get into a lot of big trouble, right? You know, and the good fear, if there is such a thing, right, the good fear turns into bad fear, right? And that happens a lot, and I've seen it in people's lives, you know. People afraid to make decisions, people afraid about certain things, you know. I mean, just very, kind of very irrational, you know. And I'll be surprised sometimes, you know. There'll be a guy at church, and you know, a really smart guy, you know, went to good colleges and has a good job and seems like they got their act together, you know. And then, you know, in our conversation and whatnot, they talk about something, and you could tell there's this fear that drives this part of their life. And it's like, whoa, it just doesn't make sense. Like, you're smarter than this, you know, to actually succumb to this kind of thinking or idea. But that's generally how it works. I'll give you a great definition of bad fear. Okay, bad fear, what we're talking about, right, is, you know, I share this acronym, F-E-A-R. It's false evidence appearing real. Right, that's what fear is, false evidence appearing real. It's irrational. You know, and it turns, and it, the fear, which is, you know, a good part of our lives sometimes, you know. I remember, you know, I went camping years ago. I used to be an avid camper, backpacker, climber, all that stuff. And I used to go camping a lot. I went camping one time, and as I was walking, you know, through a trail, I, you know, heard this little noise, shh, right? And I've been Boy Scout long enough to know that that's a rattlesnake. You know, and so I turned over, I looked, you know, to my side, and there was this rattlesnake coiled up about a foot and a half away from me, right, and stuff. And so, you know, thank goodness fear went through my bones, you know, and I just ran as fast as I could. I mean, you know, I was quick like a cat, man, and it had nothing to do with me. It was all just the fear, right? And so it's good, you know. It'll help you get out of tight situations many times. But then there's also, you know, the fear that turns very negative, and you get controlled by that fear, paralyzed by it, you know. And again, one of my hypotheses, right, and I've been sharing with you a lot of my inner workings of my mind this week, you know, a lot of my thought on this is because, right, at some point we missed out on that father figure, or that authority figure, or the person that was taking care of us, or whatever it may be, right? And that person was not our refuge, nor our strength, for some reason, right? And we didn't have victory, unfortunately, right? But now, let's go into this now. But it's not the end of the world, right? Because even though, you know, our earthly lives or whatnot, you know, and our role models and our fathers have maybe failed. And, you know, like I said before, they probably didn't know any better, you know, and this happened, and we live in this fear, but God is our refuge, right? God is our strength, right? Our Father God is able to erase those fears in our life as we lean upon Him. You know, as we give ourselves to Him, as we confess to Him, you know, and really take those fears and, you know, and just like, you know, my little kid, right, just run to Daddy's arms and say, I'm scared. You know what happens when we get older? We no longer confess that we're scared, right? Especially as men, right? You know, we got to be tough and strong and, you know, and all these things, right? And it's, you know, it could seemingly be uncomfortable, you know, going to Father God, I mean, even in prayer, and say, you know, Dad, I'm scared. I'm scared about my future, you know. I'm scared if I could be a father. I'm scared if I could raise kids and provide for kids, you know. And, And I really, you know, I'm honestly, right? I mean, I really struggle with some of these things when, you know, I mean, I felt I was ready to get married, so that wasn't much of an issue, right? You know, but when it came to being a dad, you know, I mean, with the first one, I just didn't know if I could do it. And I had to go to God and say, God, I'm pretty scared. I think I might mess up my kids, you know, which is a real possibility, right? Because I know myself, you know, and stuff. And I mean, I could really jack my kids up. And this recurring kind of scene in my mind was like, you know, Elise, when she's 20 years old, you know, going to a counselor, right? Or like inner healing. I mean, really, it was kept playing my mind, you know, and just rehash all these things about, you know, when she was little and, you know, dad didn't do this, you know, and stuff. And I knew I'd still be the pastor of that church, you know, and I'm thinking, oh man, the counselor's going to think, who's this idiot that's my senior pastor, right? And things, and this is even before we had Cascade, right? You know, and stuff. And this kept playing back and forth in my mind. I was like, man, I don't want to. And the reason why is because I didn't want to pass on my junk to my kids, right? I mean, if there's any good motivation to go through inner healing deliverance, right, is if you're about to be a parent, right? And you don't want to jack up your kids, right, in the same way that you're jacked up, right? You know, and stuff. I know that sounds harsh, but that's not what I meant. And it's a real fear. But if for us to go before the Lord and say, God, you know, I'm pretty scared about this, right? You know what happens when you do that? What happens is that whatever's going on in your life, basically when you confess that to God and give it to the Lord, now it becomes God's issue, right? It no longer becomes my issue. Now it's God's issue, you know? And, I mean, I had the audacity one day as I was praying to him, you know, and this was in relation to my parents when they had just left for the mission field, you know, and God said, you know, I mean, I had this long conversation with God, and, you know, and I remember, you know, as my parents left for the mission field, I came home from the airport, I was crying, you know, and I turned to the Lord, and I yelled at him, I said, God, you better take care of them, you know, and then God spoke back instantly, and he said, Sam, Who can take better care of your parents, you or me? I said, oh, okay, you, God, right? You know, it's okay. I mean, that settled it right there, right? And God said, you know, he's going to do it, you know? And so what I did is I gave that burden, I gave it over to God, and now it was God's issue, right? Lord, this is your stuff now. You know, not that I relieve myself, but I pass it over to the Lord. That's what it means when the Bible says, cast your cares upon me, right? And God says, give me those things, right? And what it does, it transfers the ownership from myself to God. In the same way, when you forgive someone, you transfer that ownership from yourself to God, right? You know, when you submit, I mean, that's what you're doing. You're transferring, you know, let's say you're praying about something, you have to make a decision, you know, and when you submit that to God, you're transferring that ownership to God, you know, and all that is the burden, the sweating, you know, all that stuff, it's a transfer to the Lord, you know, and so when you say, God, I'm scared, I don't know about this thing, you're transferring that over to the Lord, and God is able to take care of it. Right? Remember we read Matthew 11, you know, yesterday. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, right? Remember at the end it says, take my yoke upon you, right? For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. In other words, he's making a transfer. You know, we're taking our burdens and all these things, we're giving it to him, and he's giving us his light load, right? It's like we take it off, you know? And that's what it's like. And so it's important for us to really come before Father God, our refuge and our strength. You know, Proverbs 18, he tells us, the Lord is a strong tower, right? The righteous run to it and they are safe. You know, that's what he is, you know, in times of trouble and you know, and all these things. I love this psalm, you know, verse 1. A very present help in trouble. Right, he's just right there, you know. Another translation of that is abundantly available for help. That's what our God is, abundantly available for help. You know, because when you don't have that,
you could very easily succumb to that fear in our lives, you know, and see the, we don't want to live in fear. We want to operate in faith. See, it's really the same. It's like two sides of the same coin. Fear, right? False evidence appearing real. It's not real, but it's there, right? Faith is the antithesis of that. You can't see it, but yet you believe it, right? It's the opposite, you know, faith and fear. And so as a challenge to us, when we talk about the fatherhood of God in that way, right? I mean, would you say, you know, as you just go through different, you know, and there may be some areas of your life where you have such faith for. Why do you have such faith? Because, right, it's been proven. God got your back or something happened, you know, your friends, your dad stepped in, you know, and so faith is something that's built up, right? You know, and so there's some areas where our lives are just really, really just have succumbed to fear. Let me suggest to you this morning that you give that over to the Lord, you know, and just simply pray like Emma, right? Say, Appa, I'm scared. I'm scared, right? I mean, not even good grammar, but, you know, she's two, so it's okay, right? So let's close our eyes. Are there any areas of your life that is more dictated by fear than by faith? And again, it's probably because, in some ways, because your father wasn't there for us in those moments. You know what a world of difference could have been if that father figure in our life would have just said, come over here, don't be afraid. I'll take care of it. I'll take care of you. That's what it means when the psalmist says, here's our refuge and our strength. It's important that those two phrases go together. He's our refuge, and he's, in other words, he's a place that we can go when it's a storm outside. But he's also our strength. He's also the one that can overcome those storms. Remember Jesus in the lake? He calls out to the storm and says, peace, be still. Friends, Jesus in one word, one phrase can quiet the storms in our life. He's our refuge and our strength. Very present help in our time of need. Therefore, we will not fear. Therefore, we will not be consumed. By these things in our life. Let the Holy Spirit speak to us right now. And as Monica leads us in a song, whatever it is that you are fearful of, whatever it is that is dictating your life today, can I encourage you to run to Daddy and say, Daddy, I'm scared. I'm scared if I'm going to be a good parent. I'm scared if I'm ever going to get married. I'm scared about my future. I'm scared that I made so many mistakes, Dad, that I may have blown it for myself. I'm afraid that I'll never be successful. Dad, I'm afraid that I'm unlovable. Let the Holy Spirit speak to us.
Yeah.
Let's pray. Let's pray over our community. Let's pray over our friends, over our church and our family. And maybe we did have, you know, what a lot of writers call a father hunger. You know, and as a result of that, you know, a lot of fear has really enveloped our lives. Let's pray. Let's pray that we would just do a transfer, that we would take that fear and we just give it over to the Lord. Right? I mean, you know, I've had to deal with a lot of this stuff, not necessarily for myself, but actually for my wife. Right? You know, her father passed away when she was 12, and she said that so much fear just began to rush into her life as a result of that. And there are a lot of us at church and in our community that, you know, are still operating in this way. And so let's pray. Let's pray that God the Father, right, would be their refuge and strength, so they won't need to fear. Right? So let's pray for our church and our community in that way. Let's pray over our weekend services and ask God's hand to be upon us. Let's pray starting tonight with McCain House Church. Let's pray that God would just bless this house church and they just continue to grow in love and faith with one another. Let's pray over Saturday, and it's the Saturday of service, and I know a lot of house churches are going out and serving our community. Let's just pray for just a wonderful time of just our church people just coming with such hearts to give and to serve, and that God would just really meet our hearts in that way, and that we would really bless Hong Kong and the ministries that we're going to serve at. Let's pray for all the logistics and everything, and people will come out, and everything would run very smoothly, and that God would just really be glorified through us as we serve those that are less fortunate than we are. Let's pray for youth group that night, and for God's hand to be upon Pastor Nate and the kids as they really just draw near to the Lord. Let's pray for our Sunday services. Let's ask God to just have his hand upon us, and in the 10 o'clock and the 2 o'clock, and then we have a house church leaders meeting that night, and pray for the Lord to speak through the leaders there. Let's pray for Noah's Ark, the children's ministry, and the teachers, and Pastor Sam Kim, and that the Lord would really use them powerfully to really teach our kids about the kingdom. Let's pray for Monday for Cascade, and for Rebecca and all the counselors, that the Lord would just continue to use them and set so many people free. And let's just offer this weekend up to God and all the stuff that is going on through the hands of our church, and ask God not just to bless it, but to change us through it, to transform us as we serve him and as we give to him and worship him and listen to him. All right, let's just cover this weekend. Also forgot to mention on Saturday, our dear sister on our staff, Sophia, is graduating from seminary, right? And so let's pray for just a fruitful time Saturday afternoon as well for her. This Saturday, also, the first leg of our summer missions is kicking off, and the parts of the Hinan team are leaving. So let's pray for just a good send-off for them, and that they would go and just really be used by the Lord. And just the hand of grace would be upon them as they embark to China, and you know, all the logistics would be taken care of, and they'd really serve with such love and with such grace. And let's just cover the Hinan team. Last night, our brother Kenny, Ken Chin, his grandfather passed away, and I think the parents were expecting this to happen. They didn't know it was going to happen so suddenly, and so he passed away last night. And so let's lift up a prayer for Ken, and especially his mom. It would have been her father. She's quite broken up about everything, and let's just pray for real grace for them as a family, and pray that the comfort, right, the God of all comfort, would just come and just really minister to this family, and God would just continue to protect their hearts, and through it in some way that they would turn to Jesus in the midst of all this, right? So let's lift up Kenny's family right now. And lastly, we have some crazy people at our church, right, that like to do crazy things with their bodies. And, Stuart is one of these guys, and he's leaving this morning. He's going to the Gobi Desert, and he's running the 250-kilometer race. You know, why a person would do that, I have no idea, but he's going, right? And I know it's, he's going to spend a lot of time praying, maybe asking God why he's doing this. Could be probably one of the most popular prayers at this time. But he's leaving this morning, and he's off for, it's a week, right, Stu? So he's going out to the Gobi, and he'll be running the race. And so let's just pray for him, let's cover him. If you can't, let's move out of our seats, and let's come and just lay hands on him. And the man's got to get married soon, so we can't let anything happen to him, right? And so, let's just cover Stuart and ask for God's grace, and protect his body and his feet and his toes, and all that kind of stuff, so he can run and really glorify God, in the midst of the running, and spend a lot of time in the Lord. So let's just cover our brother as he goes off this week. Lord, we bless you today, God. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that your heart, God, is to move us from fear to faith, Lord. And so we thank you, God, that you are our refuge and our strength, God. Lord, and our very present help in our time of need. Therefore, we will not fear. And so help us as a community, God, to be a community of faith, Lord. Watch over us. Watch over us this weekend, God, and all of our activities and our services. And we ask for the hand of the Lord to be upon us, God. And again, we lift up Kenny's family to you, God, and other families, Lord, that are going through different kinds of sicknesses and whatnot. And we pray for your grace and healing word to come, God. Heal us, God, physically. Heal us emotionally. Heal us spiritually, God. We thank you, Lord. And bless Stuart, God, as he goes off, Lord, and runs. Let him run for you, God. We thank you, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great weekend this week, and we'll see you guys here on Sunday for service, ready to go.